Just Say.
Greetings and welcome to Can I Just Say, a podcast about The Apprentice. My name is Siobhan Ma and I am your host today, along with my cherished co-hosts, Gemma Flynn. Hello, G.
Hello, Siobhan.
How are you?
I'm really well. I've just left a dinner party to come to record the pod and I'm feeling, my spirits are high. I'm feeling
You've got good. Your priorities in the right place, is what you're telling me.
You're welcome, listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad to
she
hear
told
it.
Us she had a dinner party. I didn't know it was happening in her house.
It's currently happening.
So let's get this
That's
moving.
The kind of commitment that Lord Sugar would likes to see.
I'm a multitasker. You know, I'm not sure if they even know I'm gone, honestly, but
I'm sure your
presence is missed. I shaved 30 minutes off of a game of snooker to be here as well, so none of my commitment can't be called into question either.
Thank you,
and
Stuart.
That voice you hear is the voice of my other co-host, Stuart McPherson. Hello, Stu.
How's it going? Hello.
You are currently in San Francisco wearing a beret.
Yep.
It's very beautiful to see.
A lot of cultures at once.
So much cultures at once.
Wearing a baseball cap and a beret at the same time. Not many
nice.
Can do that.
Nice, yeah. Hats a on man hats. Of the world.
Mm. How is it going, girls? What's happening?
Really good.
It's good. It's going good. It's a Sunday night. Mm-hmm. We're here to talk about a classic of the Apprentice genre. The run around and find shit.
Running about the place.
Yes. But before we get into that, G, you said that you had some news. So
I do have some news. Do either of you have news or do you play jingle? Do you mind if I just fire ahead? Play jingle.
Play the jingle. Fire ahead.
Play jingle.
Can I just news?
Okay. So I've got a few bits of news. The first one, I just wanted to check in. Have we covered that Harpreet and Akshay are getting married?
No.
No. We knew that they were together, confirmed Shaggers, but we didn't know. I didn't know they were getting married.
They are engaged. So Harps, our winner from last year, was with her partner, Akshay, and he told her that she was attending a 007-themed birthday. And that was just a ruse to get her to a surprise engagement on a Canary Wharf rooftop. So
I hope she was gonna go dressed as Oddjob. And now in all the pictures from the engagement, she's got a hat that can kill you.
I've got so many questions. Okay, continue, G.
No, ask away. That's basically all I've noted, but I'd be happy to ask and conjecture wildly about what was happening on the night. If you got any cues I can answer.
I mean, I'd love to know, like, if somebody told me, I'd love to know what the relationship of the person they pretended was having the 007 themed party. I want to know, like, because if that was me, that would have to be someone that I really care about.
Be asking a lot of questions. Like, if you said to me, I'm having a 007 themed birthday, I'd be sending a few texts being like, do I have to do this?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, what era? Can we come as odd job or whatever, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
How do you guys feel about themed parties? I can't be fucked, obviously.
It's a lot of effort.
It's hard enough to get everyone in a room.
Yeah. My most hated themed party was the era when people were doing Mad Men themed, because it was like, fuck.
Let's just put a suit on, though, isn't it? Well, I guess if you're a girl.
Well, for girlies, it's like a whole to-do.
It's harder. That's a whole other thing.
Sounds exactly the same as James Bond.
Yeah, it's too much dressing energy. Up, basically. Yeah. Putting on two bras or whatever, you know, that's the problem. But anyway, so yeah, she was like, no problem. That's totally normal for me to attend a 007 themed birthday. I'll just put on a really nice dress as I would go into this. And then actually proposed on the rooftop. And there's quite a high sort of like production value video on their Instagram of the event going down. So
filmed by Abbey TV, maybe.
That would be amazing if so. Hopefully.
We don't need to dedicate news to it, but we should say that in the off season, I've had a few messages from Avi TV.
Yeah, we actually didn't cover that yet.
Please, can we tell the listeners?
Because I shared his content on Instagram. Part of his marketing must be like, you know, following up on people who has previously shared. I don't know how he can do it. But like, Avi's sent me voice notes and stuff.
How he can do it, Stu, is because you're like one of 10 people, I think.
Yeah, maybe. Let me see if I can find it. Can I just fucking play it?
Please, I was going to say, can you paraphrase so that we know what...
Let me see if it's still there. Give me a sec.
God, now Siobhan's wearing a funny hat in this
I'm
thing.
Just trying to find it.
I'm not going to join in on this at all. But you guys are giving me a feast for the eyes.
Trying to email him by accident.
Oh, God. don't email him.
This is...
Stuart, it was really kind of you to share, and I hope you have a fantastic week.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, yes. That was amazing.
That was just him thanking me for sharing one of his raps, I think it was.
That's
and
nice.
Then you can see on there, he's been sending me a lot of messages and stuff.
Oh, shit.
That's very good customer service.
He wanted me to nominate him for... No, he says he's nominated for 2 awards, Corporate Influencer 2023 for Avi TV and Breakthrough Moment 2023. That was Avi Sharma, which I guess is just his real name.
His real name, yeah.
He was just asking me to vote for him. I didn't, I'll be honest, Avi, but I appreciate your engagement.
Wow.
Great to have a reach out like that.
It is. It's stunning.
Yeah, it's nice to feel like I'm brought into his inner circle.
We should do a little compilation of like all the apprentice candidates that we have saying your name, Stu, because we've got Curran.
Oh, yeah. Thomas Tommy.
We've got Avi. We've got Tommy.
Maybe the top 3 of all time there.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm really happy.
Good.
That's an all-star cast. That.
Absolutely. It really is.
Okay, yeah. So do you want me to bounce on to some other news then?
Let's
quickly?
Keep going. Please. Yes.
Imagine hearing this from the main room in Gemma's house.
I know people are like, where's
Jim? Just tucking into the tiramisu at the minute. You can
be
hear
right
this.
Back, guys. keep going. But yeah, okay, so we're not going to dwell on the sort of the stuff around Dr. Asif too much, but I don't know if we've mentioned, apart from, I won't go into it, but basically one of the extra crimes that he was...
one of his bonus crimes.
Bonus crime that he was sent to training for by the BBC was that some of the women in the house apparently said they didn't feel comfortable when Dr. Asif kept talking about how he only has sex with virgins. And the crew members were horrified.
Oh, my God.
And he later clarified that, in fact, he meant to say that women should be virgins when they marry. So,
of course, that makes it so much better.
Allow me to clarify that for you.
So, yeah, wow. Again, we're probably not going to dwell on this too long, but I thought that was just so strange.
He's been kind of struck off, right?
There's yeah, he's actually been suspended from the medical register, actually.
Damn.
So, yeah, again, it's not really the kind of fodder we like to cover. So I'm just going to skip over that. And
it's not an apprentice success story.
Nah, but anyway. Okay, right. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was the sort of location that we're in this week of Jersey.
Yes.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I was quite interested to know about Jersey a little bit. And so I did a little bit of reading. Okay. I hit up Metro's top 10 most interesting facts about Jersey and so on and so forth. I read the Wikipedia of like famous residents of Jersey.
Love.
I learned that it is a tax haven. Won't go into that too much. But there's 2 really, really interesting, like the most random celebrities that I could ever have thought of who were born in Jersey. Did either of you look this up yourselves?
No.
Matt Letizia?
Okay, actually close, Stu. Really close. What if I told you?
Graham Lasso.
Graham Lasso, yes.
French-sounding English footballers.
Exactly. So Graham Lasso, that's crazy that you guessed that. So
amazing that you got that, Stu.
Did you know that about Graham Lasso?
Weirdly, I listened to a podcast this week, separately, nothing to do with The Apprentice, and one of the guys that presents that was in Jersey.
Okay.
And then that came back to me. So that's a weird bit.
Jersey is hot and happening
hot.
Right now.
Yeah, it's in and for 2024.
The other guy is Henry Cavill, who played Superman.
Oh yeah, Superman.
That is also random.
Of large jaw fame.
Large jaw
Very
fame,
Very random.
Yeah.
So Jersey is self-governing. Okay. It has its own financial, legal and judicial systems. It's an aggressive tax haven. And it is the birthplace of Graham Lasso and Henry Cavill. So there
Incredible.
We go.
Incredible. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And that's great my news.
I did get a little flavour of like the, you know, when they were talking about the, we'll get into this properly, but like the Bashan and the various other bits and bobs, it really seemed like there is a strong and rich culture alive on Jersey.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So very interesting. Very, very
interesting. It seems to be the way now. Was it Cornwall and then Brighton we've had for the runaround weeks?
Yes.
Where it's
yes.
like we need a place with a strong cultural identity where we're going to be able to send them for to get stuff they don't got in London.
Well, didn't yeah. they go to Marrakesh once as well? The souks of Marrakesh?
They did, yeah.
That's so much better because at least, as far as I can tell, haggling is a thing in Marrakesh.
Unlike anywhere else.
On these shows / Jersey, it's mad.
Send them to the Barras. That's what I want to see.
Would yeah. you would you haggle at the Barras, Siobhan, do you think?
I think you can, maybe. Yeah.
A little bit.
I'd be more inclined to than doing what these guys do, which is just run around ripping off independent businesses to their face.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, well, should we get into the episode? Did you guys have any other news?
No other news. That was a delightful selection. Thank you,
Jake. I was very, for a second there, I was on gbnews.com. They've got a website now. Rochelle was sounding off about something or other, but I couldn't be arsed in the end.
I saw that, and when I did my review of the news, she basically was just saying that the edits are harsh.
Yeah.
I mean, tell us something we don't know.
We're fans of Rochelle anyway.
Thank
so you,
GB
know
News. Breaking news from 15 years ago.
Okay, so shall we get on to this episode where
Let's
we begin
on.
In Jersey and there's an immediate scorning of our new favourite Noor.
Yes.
Blisser.
Scorned because she can't read a map.
Yeah, they were saying to her, are you sure you can read paper maps?
And I wanted to just touch on this briefly. I don't know if you guys remember Map Start.
No.
Oh, okay. Wow. I thought this was like a staple in Scottish films.
You thought this
Scottish
was going to be like the Kayleigh's chat all over again.
Yeah, I really did.
Oh, shit.
Map Start was like a thing, I guess, in the 90s and early 2000s, maybe before that. It was like a textbook where you would learn to read maps.
Like ordnance survey maps.
Honestly,
or like A to Z road maps.
I like A to Z road maps from memory. But it's been a long time. So, but I think that obviously as technology has progressed, people are no longer using paper maps. I really feel
it's a great shame in my eyes now.
So this is my passionate plea to bring back Mapstar.
Bring back maps.
Siobhan, if you were training to be a taxi driver, you could study maps because that's
the
big thing that they do.
The knowledge.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but Noor obviously is not training to be a taxi driver.
Sadly,
as
far
as we can tell, no.
But she could have really benefited from Mapstar.
Yeah.
I don't see why she was disregarded on a map reading point of view when I don't think anyone else was bringing great map knowledge to the
party.
No,
I agree.
No. It was almost just like because she's young or something like that, maybe?
I think it's 100%. She's young. She says stuff that maybe other people in the process think is stupid. But
she's too iconic.
She has her third eye open.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree.
And yeah, it was a double scorning, really, wasn't it? Because there was a scorning on the other team, wasn't there? I can't remember who it was.
Two scornings on the other team, I think.
I feel like there was Scorn City.
Yeah, there was a lot of scorns happening.
There was the Irish lass, what's her name?
Maura
and Amina, is it?
Amina, yep.
Rip. They were both scorned in favour of Jack. G's gone back to host a dinner party. It's like in Mrs. Doubtfire when she's in the two restaurants.
Oh, shit, I'm back.
Are you back?
You're back, Gemma, we missed you there. So yeah, okay. Amina and the Irish girl were scorned in favour of Jack the Lad, who we rip as well, who we decided we didn't like in previous weeks. And I saw little to change that this week. Just a bit shit.
He wanted them to go in at 75% off, didn't he? Absolutely wild
Insane.
Statistic.
Really crazy.
It really does go to show that like there's a fine line, I think, between whether we like a candidate or whether we don't. Because if Thomas Skinner had been like, we're going in at 75%, we'd all have been like, I respect it.
Yeah.
It's about the attitude of it, isn't
it's
it?
It's 100% the attitude.
Yeah, because yeah, Flo, for instance, she's quite good at this whole thing, but I do not like her.
I don't either.
And as my unnamed Shagger pointed out, and I think that she's going to get to the end, but then they're going to be shocked at her business plan, because they've all got this vibe right now where they're like, Flo's so smart, she's so smart, but she's not really. She's just kind of like the pushiest and best of this bad bunch. You know what I mean?
That's actually a really good show. I think that's, yeah, I can see that.
Wouldn't be surprised at all. So we get our laminated book of wanker's tricks.
Yeah, it's the laminated book. It's like oysters shucked, a shackle.
I liked that Verdi said, I've heard of this before, when they got to shackles.
I like him. Yeah. He's good.
See these shackles, baby, I'm your slave. I think that's where he's heard of it before. How did you feel about this year's wanker's tricks? You had a lot of sort of Jersey Royals, a Jersey with an anchor, Jersey Wonders.
Yep. The Bashan.
Yes.
That was tough, wasn't it?
Is it Bashan, was it? I thought it was Batshit.
Batshin.
Bashan.
Yeah, I think it's Bashan, yeah. Or Bashan.
Because they were like, Bashan. Jack did that kind of cunty thing of giving the sub team the hardest ones.
Yep. Yeah.
Which you could see right through. So they were guessing, and then Phil, I think his name is, was like, I mean, we're just guessing here, and it's a bit tight what you've done.
It was unfair.
Jack goes, this is a quote, or took the liberty of writing down. Yeah. So look, we're going to have to make some sort of speculation around it. So batch it, even like a jersey, for instance, are potentially, well, it could be anything.
I know, it's like, my guy, that's the one thing that actually
brother,
is.
That's what we're saying to you.
What you're saying. Yeah. What would you guys do strategy wise though, if you were in this situation? Like, how do you try and find the stuff that you don't have a clue about within this game? Because there's no Google, you know.
You have to just go to the oldest person in the town.
You have to talk to people, don't you? Or I remember one year they were just like phoning a bunch of people and asking. They went, because they used to give them a phone book. I don't know if they still do that now.
They don't seem to have a phone book, do they?
I don't know what the rules are anymore.
I actually was wondering if you guys thought it was a bit more set up this time as well, because there was two traders that they went to. One was Babs, the pie lady.
Fucking loved Babs.
Babs icon. Immediate
I'm
going to
rip you off and you're going to cook them for yourselves.
And I'm going to laugh at you.
I've seen this
program.
I fucking hate it every year. I'm my revenge.
She made them pack it up and everything like that.
For an extra
25p
off, you can box them yourselves.
Incredible.
Yes. And then there was the other team with Steve had to blow the glass himself.
Yeah.
So I'd wondered a little bit whether they'd kind of set it up so that the people were aware that they could ask them to join in.
Yeah, that felt...
I think so.
Why would you make them do it? It felt like the One Show or something for a while.
Yeah.
What a crazy show this is.
And even the oyster people who were in the van, you know, when they turned up, they almost did like a fake, like, oh, hello, you know, so surprised to see you here. Like, oh, okay.
You would need to go back a few seasons and compare and contrast. And I know we say this every fucking week, but I do feel like it is getting more and more set up.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's obvious that their options are really limited and they've only got like two options for each one or...
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because they do this. This is a show which is taking place a lot of the time in the public, but they're having to get people to sign NDAs and like when you're on telly. So, I mean, it truly must be a production nightmare that they're just having to try and minimize all the time where it gets to be just a little bit more staged. But
yeah, which anyway. Just makes the business side of it even more farcical than it would be otherwise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you not also just think, like, who gives a fuck for a lot of this? Like, you're splitting hairs over 25 pence. And you're like, that wouldn't actually matter.
Yeah.
None of this would.
I think unless it's massive, massive discounts, which, like, a good example, I think, was the apple cider brandy. Mm-hmm. Because the first team that went in, they were straight to the point and she was not budging. And then the second, this was Jack, I think, Rip, who was doing the negotiation and he was kind of charming her,
wasn't he? Twice as cheap, technically. You know, it was still barely, as you're about to say, a fair margin.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, he didn't get any flowers for that, to be fair.
No.
But I know what you're saying, though. Like, why don't they care more about the surfboard, which was a much larger margin?
Yeah.
Why is it just as important for them to get money off on the brandy and the oysters when really they're saving 25p overall or something, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Every year that we have this task, I just like to think about the skeleton.
Felipe's paper skeleton.
Just like to have a
if we ever do a pub quiz together, that should be our team name.
We should do an apprentice pub quiz.
I fucking love
quiz.
Felipe. Yeah, Felipe, I mean, if we can't do well on that, what can we do well on?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was a brilliant series.
It was great.
Oh, amazing.
Daniel Lastman. Do you know what's weird? Have we ever mentioned I actually did host a pub quiz for Daniel Lastman once?
Did you?
Really?
You've told us that he contacted you. I didn't know that you actually did it.
You did the quiz.
Yeah. At St. Luke's.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
Oh, this does ring a bell.
It's not about me.
Okay, that's my favorite. I mean, the more we do this podcast, it seems like almost every week some of us have connections to the actual people. We're getting sort of weirdly closer, aren't we, in a strange way? So... we had Babs on Jersey, then the other lady with the Jersey Wanderer. A lot of the candidates kept using the tactic of saying, if you give me this, I'll shake your hand right now, which they think that's the most appealing thing ever. Like, they're like, please, let me shake your hand right now.
Yeah.
As if that's going to help, you know?
I mean, I guess what you're saying there when you say that is, I will leave. If we'll do it for £12, I will leave you alone.
Yeah.
Which is obviously appealing, yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Also, the numbers, it's so staged of like, because obviously they're not actually selling them stuff, are they? Are they taking the stuff?
They didn't appear to actually take the stuff.
Never looked like they were ever taking the stuff. Surely they're getting reimbursed, or like it's all just pointless. So what's the incentive for the normal person, the business person.
Mm.
I don't really get it. And like the often this week it was like, they'd be going, £6 is really the limit. Six is our budget. And then she'd be like 14. And then they end up doing like £13.50 or something.
Mm, it's crazy.
Yeah, the whole thing is so transparently bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh, and it stops them from convincingly being able to be like, oh, we've only got six in our budget, you know?
Yeah, it feels a bit like when you play poker and the chips aren't actually worth anything, really.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing with your mates for a fiver, but, you know, do you know what I mean? There's a 500 chip or whatever. It's all just horse shit.
Yeah, totally. There was a lot of that. Sam, at one point with the oysters, I think she started at, like, £15 or something, and then she was like, okay, well, I suppose I could do 18. Okay, how
that was
would you
painful.
Feel about 20? How would you feel
is that
about
that guy
22?
In the fishmongers? Whatever.
Yeah.
I liked his tactic of showing, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Nope.
There was a lot of that this episode that happened with the surfboard as well.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe back in the day people would be more excited to be on the telly and charmed by The Apprentice, but I feel like now it's like, we want to be left alone. Please just fuck off. I don't care.
I'm just like, whoa, The Apprentice. And then a fun thing happened with the brandy lady, which sometimes happens in this task where they're like, oh God, I just went through this with the other team and now this team's come in and they think this is such a fresh approach.
Yeah, that's why Jack got such a good deal, because she wanted to get rid
she
of
wanted
them really
them to,
quick.
Yeah.
It's like, go, please get out of here.
Can we talk about the team who were going to buy oysters and then they were going to get them sent to a restaurant to get them shucked or shuckled, as they said?
that was insanity. A fuck up, wasn't it? It was a lot.
Were you enjoying them saying shackled or not so much?
I was trying to remember last year we had a really good mispronunciation from Simba, but I really couldn't. It's somewhere in the depths of my mind.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
I think it was...
I want to say it was to do with a thermometer.
Barometer?
That was it,
yeah.
That was much more enjoyable.
I mean, I love to see them fuck up. It's really funny.
But the best fuck-ups are when they do it, you know, kind of through their own ineptitude rather than...
not from a setup, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm running around stressed and there's words I've never heard before, I'm going to make some mistakes as well. I don't think
100%.
It really...
100%.
Yeah.
Last week with the with Asif say it being like, it's not supposed to be surreal, it's supposed to be realistic. It's like a perfect
example
of that is the kind of content that we want from The Apprentice. We don't want them to like, yeah. Who the fuck knows what a bash-in is?
Yeah.
I know.
Old woman in Jersey.
Yeah.
And they're not going to sell you theirs.
Yeah, they love it. I loved that Jersey Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Thought she was great.
Legend.
She was like, I absolutely will not be selling you this because this is something that every person in Jersey has and cherishes. Yeah. So move along. Yes. Yeah, what about, what did you guys think of Dr. Paul, the dentist? Because he was actually doing pretty well, I thought, with his negotiations. Yeah,
I think he's going to probably get quite far.
Mm-hmm. He seemed to be genuinely quite charming.
Yeah.
Well,
not in a pushy way.
Which I'm surprised that some of them don't try that a bit more. Like, negotiating is an ultimate, like, you catch more flies with honey type situation, it seems, you know?
100%.
And not, exactly, like... Yeah. Being so cheeky to come in at 50% off to the point where they're insulted.
Mm.
He was like, just actually quite nice. I would probably have given him a deal as well. Just like, oh, you seem nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Ditto, I would say Verdi, is that his name?
Verdi.
Yeah, he also did well.
Verdi. Later on when he's like, yeah, first time in Jersey, loving it. £8, or shake your hand, whatever it is. And he just comes in with like really infectious fun.
That's
energy.
His DJ energy.
And the guy loved it. And it's like, yeah, that's how you do it. Yeah. It's a bit of Tommy Skinner.
It was. You do have to have a bit of a gift of the gab, but like in a
light-hearted
sort of
way.
Genuine, lighthearted way, you know.
Mm. Whereas Jack first time in Jersey. Sort of doesn't have that.
Loving it.
I quite liked when they were running around for a bit and Noor said to the camera, I'm feeling very anxious. I'm not going to lie to you.
Not going to lie to you.
I'm not even going to lie to you.
I'm not even going to lie to you.
I'm not even going to lie to you. So she's funny, man. She's got no
idea. She's so funny.
Filter. She just said, she sounds like she's with her pals.
Yeah. And that's what we want. That's the kind of.
It's like she's one of us. She's like the audience surrogate or something.
Big time.
Yeah.
It's
she's
nice.
She's
the refreshing
Tim from The Office if Tim from The Office was actually cool.
Absolutely, I relate to her and everything she's saying and seeing.
I know, you know, this comes up a lot, but one of the most Athletes Flats things I've ever seen in The Apprentice, and it's only a tiny detail, but before they go into that place where they were trying to buy the shackle from the guy in that boating shop, they are absolutely sprinting, like in staff, sprinting, holding their ties. And then they have to stop to get in the door and then compose themselves, but they don't even have like a half second to do it. And you can tell they've just been running, and then they walk in, like the door, like the bell goes as it opens. And it's so good. It's so funny.
I think that's a little bit like that as well, Stu, is when they have like four of them in the shop and they have this like what seems to be a normal conversation with someone. And then they almost in a very like pathetic way go, can we have a moment to talk about it? And then go away and have a little group chat. And then they're like, hi there, can you come back again and do the negotiation again over here, please? Okay.
Jack said a very staff thing as well with the brandy. Was like, I've not had brandy myself, but I can imagine it tastes beautiful.
He thought that was great, didn't he?
He thought that was
Ooh, so cool. But yeah, we do see people running in suits more than ever in life on this. Looks tough. Like, for instance, when they were running to get towards the end, Phil gave Amina a piggyback pushed them up the hill the rest of the way in his suit. They were sprinting down that causeway.
That is a real meeting of two of my favourite BBC shows. Because they do a lot of that in Race Across the World.
Siobhan, I love Race Across the World.
Oh my God, okay.
Oh my God.
I watched a few and I was really enjoying it, but I never finished it for some reason.
You should get on it.
My mum turned me on to it, it's good.
It's class.
Fuck.
You girls watch Survivor? I really like Survivor.
No, yes. I didn't see Survivor.
Really good.
I love all that.
Is that on BBC?
Yeah, it was on the off season between like, before Traitors and that. It was Joel Dominic or something. Apparently it's very big in America. I didn't watch I've not seen those seasons. I watched the British one, but it was great.
But Siobhan, Race Across the World is absolutely class, isn't it?
It's so fucking good.
It's like can't be said enough. It's like Which seasons have you watched? Have you watched the one with the wee ADHD boy where he has to eat a Subway all the time?
This is what I'm currently on.
I love him. Oh my God, I love him.
That's so cool. the Central
the
and
ADHD
South America.
Boy who has to eat a Subway every time. Fantastic.
Like me, he gets panicked whenever he doesn't know where his next meal's coming from. So
I relate.
Well, me too.
Yeah. And that's tough when you're going to race across the world.
It's really
tough.
Yeah.
When he sees a wee Subway, he's like, oh, thank fuck.
Did you see that tiny bit where Verdi comes out of the car and does a spin as he comes out?
Yes.
Starsky and Hutch spin.
That really was cool. Beautiful.
He's fun.
That was cinema, actually.
I like him, yeah, he's cool.
He is fun.
Yeah, Verdi and Trey, much as they were getting made fun of in the early episodes, like for being DJs or whatever, actually, they're great.
Yeah, that is good TV.
Yeah, I really like Trey. There was a great little moment that looked like it was from a different show where they'd been shafted on these fucking oysters when they kept saying shuckled or whatever. And then what was the plan? They were going to get the restaurant they sold the oysters to shuck them for them and then send them. They had to meet them at the restaurant.
They had to go and get them from the restaurant.
For a new price that had not been arranged.
Mm-hmm. And the wholesaler woman was like, I don't know what it'll be.
Yeah, I don't fucking work at the restaurant. Leave me out of it. But there's a bit where they walk out the back of that shop and they all are like slumped over a banister next to the bins and they're looking out to sea and there's just a beat and then Trey goes, waiting, waiting. Will we succeed? We just don't know. And I just thought it was such a poignant moment that you never see in The Apprentice.
That was great.
It felt like a totally different show. I really liked it.
Waiting.
That's
and then he was quite funny as well when they were caught in the field of cows.
Yeah.
And he was on the phone and he was just like, oh, we're caught in a field of cows. We've got to go.
Great. It's great to see some of the personalities coming through. We get this around week four. We start to get to know people, get to know names.
We've got a few good ones, haven't we, that we quite enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
quietly hopeful. There was a bit in this week's one, was it Flo? They were buying a surfboard.
Yeah.
Mm. I just thought it was so embarrassing when they were like trying to rip this guy off and like, she's like, I'm just going to go and see the other chap down the road. And then as soon as they got outside, they were like, why are we even doing this? Let's just go back in. And they went in again, like straight away.
Oh, and she was like, you know, we've heard that you're the best surfboard guy in the biz, you know, on the
Merchant,
island.
I believe it was.
Ooh, disgusting.
Yeesh. He should have put the price up, honestly. It was
he
so
should have put the price up.
Yeah, he should have done.
Yeah, Tim was 100%. Cringing as well. He was like, whoa, this is terrible.
And Maura also was cringe when she was negotiating with the other surf guy because she was like, could you just help a poor Irish girl out and give me the surfboard? Maura.
And that caused a lot of arguments later, but I really didn't think Maura was really doing that well, honestly, bless her.
There's something about her that kind of chills me to my core. I can't quite put my finger on it. I think last week with her doing the like, sometimes in life there are situations like now you have fallen. Mm-hmm. That was like a bit replicate energy, you know, AI energy. And then this week there's something... Need to see more from her. Need to see a fun side from her.
You'd be foolish to discount a blonde Irish girlie in The Apprentice.
Well, exactly.
Well, that's it. That's what's kind of unnerving about it, though, is because we can usually just totally say, you're blonde, you're Irish, you will win this. You know what I mean? But in this case, we can't really do that. And it's unnerving a little bit, you know?
We'll see what happens with her.
A really relatable bit of this episode for me was before they went into a negotiation. I think it was probably the first negotiation. What was the other team leader? What's her name again?
Raj.
They were just hanging about outside a shop like a bunch of teenagers waiting on someone to come and negotiate for them. And she turned to her team and she went, negotiating. Any last minute hints and tips? Which just made me think whenever I go to do anything, I'm like on YouTube being like, you know.
Hints and tips.
Give me some hints and tips.
Mm.
I can probably master this in the 2 minutes before.
I felt bad a little bit for Phil. I think he was like, he had more in him or something like that, but he was just kind of like so frustrated with Babs and stuff and it didn't get better from there.
He was an old, an old baker's lackey for half the episode.
It was amazing when she didn't even give them a deal. Like, that was so funny.
Yeah, that was really brilliant. Respect.
Babs, if you're listening, thank you.
What did you make of those Jersey Wonders? I'd like to try one, but it did just look like a donut.
Yeah, I guess they're just, in my mind, they're like dinky donuts, but of just a cool shape.
A lot of the stuff was about like butter and dairy and the Jersey cows and then potatoes and then bakery and stuff. It just like, seems like a kind of buttery vibe.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, fine with it.
Well, Lord Sugar was making a big noise about how he was like, this is the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys.
Then I'll strike you as just wrong.
That is wrong, surely.
I know. I
didn't think they were notably bad, any worse than any other year.
100%. But he was talking, because Sugar said, this is my favourite task. And you've run it up, basically.
That was so funny. Favorite task. Like you've he's disappointed, like they ruined his birthday party or something. I look forward to this all year. It's the only reason I come back to this shit.
I know, and you ruined it.
Yeah, I think that's just recency bias on his behalf because there's no way that they were any worse than any other year.
Yeah. I think not getting a couple and being late is standard.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, Raj's team did pretty well, to be honest, in the end, because they got almost all the items, bar one, and they were on time. So it was like, although Sugar was saying they were from the same school of silliness because they were setting up with 50% and 75% off, it was like, you know, they actually did pretty well, the winning team. Yeah. Maybe historically well.
Because Supreme, that name again,
oh yeah,
they had fines. God bless. They had seven items, but they bought the wrong shackle, and they missed out the sea salt jar and the potatoes, and they were late. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it's not good. There are problems, obviously. This shackle thing, though, so a shackle is like a fastener or something, right? For like some
ship thing.
Yeah, but even the cunt in the shop didn't know what the sizes meant.
I know, it was a bit weird and unfair, wasn't it? Because Sugar was like, you got the wrong size, even though they had a tape measure.
They had the tape measure, they were trying the best.
Yeah.
What did the other team do? I didn't even see them, did I?
I don't know. I think they found a guy they found a different shop and the guy kind of knew what they were looking for, so they were lucky. The seller knew that it was 16 millimetres or something, but it was a bit mad for Sugar to be like, the wrong size, you know? Yeah. When it was like, gun to your head.
Shackle size.
Having worked in retail, I can tell you that I knew about 2% of important information about the products that I was selling. If somebody from The Apprentice had come in and asked me something specific like that, I would have been like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to have seen that, Siobhan. I would love to have seen you interact with the apprentice.
You can make your own shackle. You're not getting a discount.
Would you ever get people asking complicated questions, though, about sizes and stuff?
Yeah, well, when I worked in the Paper Chase pen counter. That's like obviously quite niche. People know a lot about nibs and various things like that and ink and stuff. So there were lots of questions about that.
Did you have any quills or like old timey ones like ink and?
No quills. There was dipping ink. There was a guy who came in once who wanted specifically a purple fountain pen with purple ink so that he could write a letter to his ex because she loved Prince. And he wanted it all in purple.
That's gorgeous. You should have said,
I'll sell you the pen on the condition that you'd let me know how this goes.
I know. I wish I had known. I wish I'd known.
Yeah. Because you can't just live not knowing that happened. That happened. You don't know the outcome. Yeah.
I think so he would have been, I think in my heart, I feel like he was too scared to send the letter, but you never know.
Mm. Sounds quite intense, this fella.
Yeah, it was intense. Mm. Hope he's doing
I
well.
I reckon his ex-girlfriend was correct to leave him. That's my hunch.
Yeah.
One time I met a guy at a wedding and he was kind of keen to like ask me out or whatever. And I, as a joke, sort of gave him my address instead of my phone number and was like, write to me. And he did
that
write
was
to
a mistake.
Me.
I thought you were going to say he turned up.
No, actually, thank fuck.
Yeah.
But he did write to me.
What was the letter like?
It was funny. Yeah. So I was like, okay, let me RSVP.
Cool.
Love that. So, yeah.
It wasn't sometimes. Purple ink, though.
No, but that was quite a risk, as you now mentioned.
Yeah.
But it worked out.
The boardroom was quite spicy this week. I'm not going to lie. I zoned out. And then when I realised he asked for the full team to come back, I was like, better pay attention now.
Well, Maura did a Can I Just Say shout out. Did you hear it?
Oh, really?
Fan of the pod, obviously.
Shout out.
She's done her research before going in.
Mm-hmm,
she's listened to all the series, even the series about you. And she's gone in ready to slay. Absolutely. Sugar made a joke about Stevie Wonder being blind, I was wondering whether we could maybe retire that forever, please, Alan. Because
I thought it was one of his better ones.
You thought that was better.
Well, do you want me to run through the jokes?
Yeah, quickly? I knew you'd have them written down.
Well, actually, I know I'm half-arsed at the best of times, but I did watch this twice so that I can make some notes the second time because I watched it on my phone on the way back from a gig.
Thank you.
And I wasn't paying much
just
attention.
Just as Scorsese intended.
Yes, exactly. So he...
And Spielberg.
Well, funny we mentioned Spielberg because his first joke, he says, I heard you was the worst thing a surfer faced since Jaws.
I didn't even think about that.
He's made the classic jest from Peep Show era of thinking that the shark is called Jaws. Here comes Jaws. Watch, he doesn't get you with his big massive jaws.
His name is Jaws. That's so funny.
Thing about your man blowing his own glass. I'm glad I heard that right, he said. What does that mean? Sugar. He thinks you've blowed your own ass? Was that I'm to take this joke to mean? Something
prude.
Very unshellfish of you.
Honestly,
that one fucking killed, by the way.
If you're anywhere near fish or cheese, you're going to get puns like that in the boardroom. Yeah. That's what we know.
You got well shocked in that negotiation. Something about him doing a booze schmooze, and then Jersey Wonder's Stevie Wonder could have seen it.
But the school of silliness was my favourite of them. That's a bit more surreal again. I'm sorry.
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I would say from the boardroom was the Nexus only had, they didn't get the potatoes, but they got scalped 90 quid in fines.
That's a lot, isn't it?
For potatoes.
That seems like a lot, no? But what we're circling around to again, which we say every year in this episode, is like, what are the rules?
Yeah.
Tell us at the beginning,
you get fined like 3 times the average price.
Right, yeah.
For each item, for example. Then it's like, that makes sense. I can work with that.
I swear they used to do that. And I think it's like, from what I can remember, it was something like, they would do it off based off the highest price that is like available. Right. I don't know if that is true or if that is actually what they do, if they changed it. But yeah, they should have.
It might be the same, but just let us know.
And it should be like, you're fined this much per 5 minutes that you're late.
It's common decency and like storytelling to let you know what the rules are of the game you're playing.
Absolutely. And it just makes it more fun and interesting. You understand the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because I want to know why they prioritize being there on time over getting the items. That's like a really fundamental one where I'm like, let me in on this. Like, I just want to know.
What am I watching?
Yeah.
What's happening? Simply?
I know someone's going to say shuckled or whatever. I know that. That's coming. But let me know what else, you know, what's actually important to know.
Exactly. Like on Racer Across the World, they've got to get to the next place before the next. It's simple.
Absolutely. And you know that they only have the price of an airfare ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know that on Only Fools and Horses, if he falls through the bar, he's not going to look cool in that situation.
Boom. You're laughing. You've understood the situation. You might have to explain it to Lord Alan using Only Fools to try and get across the need for the rules. But yeah, very tough.
So yeah, he brings back the whole team. How did you feel about that? That excited you?
Have we ever seen him ring the receptionist and say, stop the other ones going back to the house?
I liked it. I was like, ooh, drama is happening. Something's going on. Yes, I'm alive.
something's up, girlfriend. Although they were kind of like, it's not usually when something like that happens, it's because the PM is picked badly.
Yes.
Chosen bad. Yeah. Whereas no one really complained, did they?
Maura complained a bit.
Right.
But
it wasn't like someone's got away with a total clanger.
No, it was very much every single person on the team fucked up. So we're bringing them back.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, can I just say, while with these lot were going in and out of the boardroom and all this, I really enjoyed the other team on their sailing yacht, little luxury sailing experience treat thing, because Trey kept saying, ahoy there, which was giving waders energy.
And I was going to say, you famously love anything
famously
related to the water.
I was seeing it. I was looking at it with lust in my heart. But Noor as well to camera said, this is why we won, because I was able to control everyone as sub-team leader.
Legend.
Yeah. And then do you guys know who this nameless blonde girl is? Like, she's had this fourth win on the trot, apparently. She said to camera, I've won 4 out of 4 tasks, basically.
Are you talking about
so
Sam?
There's another.
Not Sam. There's another
Sam,
blonde.
There's Flo. There's Maura.
There's a further blonde. There's a fourth one.
There's a secret
there's
fourth
a fourth one.
One.
There's a secret hidden fourth blonde. Oh, seriously. No. Maybe you need to like
let
unlock
me have a look.
Her.
I'm racking Princess. My brains.
She was like, I've won 4 of 4 tasks. Like, she's the front runner now, this blonde.
That doesn't mean shit.
So, wait, I really am drawing a blank.
Baffled.
I'm scrolling through all them candidates right
Maybe
now.
Maybe I've imagined her.
Maura? You've just morphed them all into one.
We know Maura. She's Irish. You
Maura's Irish.
There's a few rips in here already. Rachel Wilford.
Never heard that name. But Never. Is that her shoe? Is she...
Location leads. Occupation boutique fitness studio owner.
Wait, this either. Has got to be made up.
Business minded from a very young age, Rachel has plenty of experience managing her work independently. Could a business partnership with Lord Sugar be the next big step?
Okay,
well, good because she's the front runner and we've never really even conceived of her yet.
Why do you deserve Lord Sugar's investment? Anyone in business must work hard, but I work harder.
Oh, her.
You seeing her, Siobhan?
That
I'm
rung
seeing
a bell.
Her. I'm seeing her.
No, she Googled her.
Right, I was going to say.
You read her CV. Most generic CV I've ever heard as well. Oh, my God.
Yes, I do. I've literally not seen her do a single thing.
And she is four
and she's the
wins
front runner.
Out of four.
That's
four
insane.
Yeah.
Is that a winner's edit, though?
Not really, is it? Because she's totally unknown to us.
Yeah,
that's
nah,
crazy.
She goes unceremoniously week before the interviews.
Yes, I would.
Yeah. 100%. Sorry to you, girly, but that's your fate.
That's just I'm the afraid. Truth of it. I'm sorry.
Anyway, sorry. So back to the boardroom where the drama was happening.
Mm.
He brought them all back in. Maura had the surfboard dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord Allen said, right, shut it just for a minute. Which I liked. And he called them amateur as well, which I enjoyed.
Yeah. And then, double stuffing.
How do
double
you feel
stuffing.
About the
Boom.
Who went? They,
Boom.
Were they deserving of it?
I'm fine with it. I didn't really care.
I didn't care. I kind of felt like anybody could have gone, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been amazing, but it would fuck the show, I guess, if you sacked 5 of them in a one-off.
Imagine.
That would be absolutely amazing.
Oh, my God.
That would actually be one of the few things that make me sit up and listen.
Yeah.
Sack 5. Bring in some former candidates. That's what I
thought. Bring in some ringers for the last few weeks.
Yeah. Amazing. But yeah, Mina was just a bit kind of... She got fucked by Jack, absolutely, because he gave her the hard things to find.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would have sacked him before I sacked her. But at the end of the day, I also wasn't asked when she went.
No. I was just going to say, it was quite fun to see them in the house being like, okay, well, who's coming back? Because they've all obviously been kept in.
Mm. And then Verdi came in going, I'm not leaving.
Incredible.
Legend. You've got
to
do a big
MC
entrance.
Another week. Yeah.
He will live to MC one more week at least.
MC no go go.
Oh.
Oh, amazing. Okay, so can we get to the bit that I was so excited about? The flash forward to next week.
Yes.
Again, this makes me think that the producers are listening.
Yes, I agree.
One of our most iconic and enjoyed episodes ever was when they went to Silverstone.
Iconic.
And they are only building on that next week by launching a Formula E team, which I think means they're going to design a car and a logo.
Incredible. And
what's Formula E, girls? Is that electronic?
It's electric. Electric cars. Yes, I looked it up. I actually did a bit of research into this as well. Apparently, Formula E is like some people who are on the way up to Formula One go through it, and then some Formula One drivers who are done and are go down to it. But they're trying to basically
they
make
say
the point that
you only play Formula E twice in your career. Once on the way up and once on the way down. It's good to be back.
That's great. That's good. That's nice.
Good fun. I like that. Old show business.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
well, I know you girls are big F1 heads after Drive to Survive, which I'd never watched, but my unnamed Shagger, turns out she's into that as well.
Oh, great.
So I watched one of the new season with her there, and okay, it was very entertaining.
I haven't seen the new season, actually. I will say I have fallen off a bit with F1.
Because me too, Siobhan.
There's other things, you know, I've got other things going on in my life. You famously now are Army G, so that's taking up a lot of your time.
I'm so busy with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's always nice to just see the familiar, you know, just hear the names, hear the familiar sounds like box box. Love to hear a box box.
Yeah.
You know,
love it.
Love to hear discussions about tires, if it's a soft tire, hard tire.
Oh,
know, all of that
softs,
stuff.
Hards, mediums,
medium. Oh, okay. Love to hear about rain being the great equalizer. So I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
You'll hear all of that next week.
Yeah,
imagine,
I hope so.
How are you finding Drive to Survive, Stu?
I think I watched two eps, but it was very entertaining. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Who are your favourites? Who are in the paddock currently?
Well, you only kind of get drip fed the personalities, don't you? Mm-hmm. Mm. So I saw your man, your big nose king, Daniel Ricciardo. Is that his name?
Daniel Ricciardo.
Gorgeous.
Yep.
So he fell off. I don't know if you guys are up to speed.
He dropped off hugely.
Yes. And now he's back at Red Bull, but as a sort of, you know, he's doing basically.
He's reserves.
Humiliating.
Yeah, he's doing sort of like club appearances.
Yeah.
Like David Brent in the specials.
He's so humiliating.
His personality is too big for Formula One.
They've got him going around like the town fool doing fucking selfies when he should be at driving. Ugh.
Yeah,
but I think
so
that he's got a seat again at some point.
He's on their the junior team at Tauri or whatever the fuck.
Oh my god,
Louis
Daniel.
Car.
Yeah,
maybe he'll be in The Apprentice next week. Maybe that's part of his...
Oh, my God. I think I would have a heart attack.
I'd love it. If they've got Daniel Ricciardo, oh my God.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God.
Commission 10 more seasons because these people don't
get him to replace Alan.
Oh, I'd love it.
I'm excited to see them design an F1 car because that is... that's like something... That's fun. It's like something you do when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
We need more of that kind of thing.
It's like when they did Round the Earth, Round the Moon, you know, roller coasters.
Fun.
Yes.
Iconic episode.
Bit of creativity. And then they'll do, of course, fonts again, Siobhan. So
fonts,
brace.
God bless.
For brace.
So,
yeah.
I've got high hopes for next week. I think that'll be fun.
Yes, I think it'll be good.
Nice.
I like the design tasks.
Okay. Any more for any more, as Stu would say?
Not really.
Right.
Kind of just what you'd expect this week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Standard.
It does,
loved it though.
You know, I just got to have faith in the process because when we're saying it's pointless and we also don't care who goes, it does make me think, what the fuck is the point in any of this?
This
goes against the building blocks of, you know, what you would assume would be good entertainment.
Yes.
That being said, you know, if they didn't have the treasure hunt, we'd be up in arms. Like, it is a classic
Completely.
Of the genre. You've got to do it.
Task.
Favourite task, famously. And I actually think there was one year where they didn't do it due to COVID, maybe, and we were absolutely pissed.
Oh, it's a super spreader, for sure.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Going around shaking granny's hands.
Oh, God bless.
So yeah, I hope next week delivers for you boys, especially. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Jay, what's the rest of this dinner party looking like?
Still going, honestly, so I'm happy to, let's get these plugs done.
Let's do it.
You know, maybe a glass of wine. 10
on a Sunday night.
I know, but you know what? Mid to late 30s, you just got to go for it when you go for it. You know what I mean?
I love that.
You just do it. Anyway, okay, plugs, let's go. I've got nothing really to plug except to say thanks to everyone who came to my dinner party tonight, basically. And I'll be going to join that.
Your weekly shout out.
Oh, shout out to BTS, of course. Still in military service, only 470 days now until we get them back. Thinking about you every day, boys. Hope I'm worthy of you by the time you return. Okay.
Good luck, boys. Gemma's writing you a letter in many different colours to...
Well, purple is their colour as well.
Is
purple.
It really?
Yeah, so it's like that guy. I should have got the purple ink.
Yeah.
Mm. Great. I would like to start my plugs with an apology to say at one point during the episode last week, I referred to this show as the UK Office, which is wrong. It's The Apprentice. My first actual plug... I'm doing a stand-up show, Stan Comedy Club, Glasgow, Tuesday 19th of March. It's called Love That For Me. It's my current friend show, and I'm looking forward to doing it in Glasgow. I would love to see you there.
Circling back to the UK office thing, what was that? I missed that. I didn't even notice. Was it just a flub?
I just called it The Office.
That's so funny.
Because I think The Apprentice, people are in suits, they're working in offices. Yeah. In my head, they're pretty similar. Okay.
Well, there you go, fans, listeners. It's an Easter
simple
egg.
Simple flub. Yeah.
Simple flub. But apologies have been made, so that's nice.
Thanks for rectifying that, Stu.
I'm not used to getting things wrong. Siobhan, movie corner.
Movie corner this week, I took a little trip back to 2016 to watch...
The year where everyone died.
Great year.
the year that everyone died,
that
yeah.
was tragic, yeah.
Yes.
Was Obama the president then?
That was election year,
wasn't it?
Maybe Trump that year. Something's ringing a bell about that.
Yes, it was a lot happening. And this film really did capture the zeitgeist and was the subject of much discourse. I watched La La Land for the first time.
Mm. Interesting. What did you think?
No spoilers. Loved it.
Wow, Siobhan, you're on a real movie musicals vibe at the moment.
Yes, I am. It's cinema. That's all I can say. It's cinema.
It's cinema, simply put.
It's cinema. So shout out to La La Land. I also want to give a shout out to Dog Day Afternoon, if you've never seen it.
Oh, I love Dog Day
Afternoon. Al Pacino classic. Oh,
Pacino at his finest, Siobhan.
At his finest.
Most mad. 100%. But also like real actor
but
shit.
Acting, yes.
Oh yeah. My God, I love Dog Day Afternoon.
And also a shout out, I saw The Taste of Things today, which is a French movie about Juliette Binoche and another French guy who make a lot of gorgeous food and they are in love.
Hair Net Week,
yeah. So shout out to that movie. I ate a Krispy Kreme during it, which really did not do it justice, but... great film.
Brilliant.
Amazing. I've been watching tons of sports documentaries this week as well.
Tell
as Drive to Survive. I watched the Patriots documentary.
Nice.
Of course, famously, my favourite documentary series of all time is Last Dance with Michael Jordan.
Of course.
And
you've not watched it again, have you?
Oh, I've watched it again. Absolutely. I've watched it maybe 20 times in total. I absolutely love it.
Oh wow, geez.
I couldn't get through it.
You couldn't get through it. Oh, don't. No. Stu, I can't even have this conversation with you. I mean, that is you to a T. Don't get me started.
Well, gee, have you seen this this film that's coming out, this documentary that's coming out about women's football?
What's it called, Siobhan? No,
I will
consume that. As someone who doesn't really watch that much sport, I love sports documentaries. I just started watching the ESPN 30 for 30 series.
Okay.
If any listeners have watched that, it's just, oh my God.
You
don't know what's wrong with me, but
you're
I just
really in it. It's called Copa 71. And it's about it's about the hashtag is the lost lionesses, I think, but it's all about like women's football.
I will watch the shit out of it. Thank you, Siobhan.
You Sundle Until I Die as well.
I know.
Ooh, must watch that.
Must watch.
Love it. Must watch it.
That's
passionate about sports
movie
docs.
Corner.
I'd like to shout out Married at First Sight Australia, which I am deep into season 10.
Maths on.
I watch it, I'd say, I wake up and I watch it before bed. I watch it every time I eat a meal.
It's really good.
Basically,
it's
in my head, I'm in that show.
Yeah.
Because I watch it so much.
Oh, I've definitely watched a few seasons of that. It's so
I've only done two or three so seasons, but there's like 40 fucking
episodes.
It's
insane.
Episodes.
It's nuts. It's unnecessary.
I really wish they'd bring back Don't Tell the Bride, speaking of Channel 4. Shit,
I watched a
honestly.
Couple of them recently as well, you know, old ones.
Absolutely incredible.
Great TV.
Absolutely fucking hilarious. TV.
Yeah. Oh my God. Don't Tell the Bride. Listen, producers of Don't Tell the Bride, if you're listening, we want it. We want more.
We want it back.
Yeah. What are Boundless Media up to now? They're not doing this.
Yeah, maybe Boundless.
Take over that. Take over the contract, Boundless.
Please,
That's
Boundless.
What your son wants.
My son. Oh God, amazing. Well, what a delight to speak to you both.
Thank you for leaving your dinner party to record the pod, G.
Thank you both so much. I think it makes me seem cool, to be honest. It's like, oh, I just got to pop out to record the pod, you know. Mm-hmm. BRB.
BRB.
Yes, we'll let you get back. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for listening, as always.
Thank you, listeners.
Hope you guys have a good week.
Yes, take care,
everyone.
See you
next week.
See you on the tracks next week. Bye. Just say.